let's lock in right now with the number one seed in the NFC after a dominating, fair to say, dominating performance on Saturday night as the Seahawks took down the San Francisco 49ers 13-3, securing home field advantage all the way up to Super Bowl, which actually will be in the stadium in which they pounced the 49ers. Danny, I'm curious when we look at this, okay? When you look at, say, Sam Darnold's numbers, they're not super impressive by any means, but we had a lot of questions about Sam going into this game. Do you feel differently about Sam after this game, or do we just realize this is a full team effort and maybe the Niners aren't as good as we thought they were? Like, where do you land on this?
I think the Niners are better than, and certainly I give them credit for, but beyond that, Sam did the thing. Were his stats incredible? No.
20 of 26, 198 yards, no TDs, 2 sacks. No picks.
But no picks. He didn't do the thing.
He didn't.
But I also...
There were no ghosts.
Did you think he played scared?
No.
Because I didn't.
I didn't think so at all. And I think some of that, it's so weird because he played scared with a guy like Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. But he takes a look at JSN and he's more comfortable? That's a wild thought. JSN's great. Don't want to take away from that. In fact, statistically, he's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. But it's wild to think he's so much more comfortable with him than he was with Jefferson in these big moments.
What's nice is that on Saturday night, we did not get the full Sam Darnold experience.
Mm-hmm. True.
This was the thing that we've talked about throughout the season with the Seahawks and with Darnold. He has not been in high pressure, high variance situations all that much in his career.
No, he hasn't.
He played for a dog S Jets team.
Before last year in Minnesota, the last time he was in a good position in a high leverage game was USC.
Yes.
That's it.
Like, and he had some big moments down there.
Sure, he had some clunkers too. But he had big moments.
And that's the thing. I don't want to bury him in the sense of like, oh my God, he saw ghosts again in Minnesota. It's like, well, he's really only had 3 games
in where his it was entire
like,
career.
Where in the NFL, where you're like, yeah, no, it's on you. You learn through them. And that's what I think you saw from him. Number one, credit to the Seahawks staff, because this year they've wanted this identity of, you know, being more balanced and being better running the ball. But their offensive line just really wasn't up to the task of running the ball that efficiently or that effectively. Over the last month or so, they've been hitting the ground running hard. I mean,
without a doubt.
Charbonnet and Walker were great.
It's a two-headed monster right now. I mean, I think everybody knows when I talk to Seahawk fans, Charbonnet is like the player that fans really love. Mm-hmm. But if you take yourself away from fandom, you're kind of like, yeah, he's okay. It's like that second or third receiver that everybody loves on their football
team.
It's the backup quarterback syndrome. Exactly. However, to your point that you're making right now, Kenneth Walker III and Zach Charbonnet, Charbonnet's been better than him of late. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker had a great game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Don't want to take away from him. Like, good runs, good vision, etc. But Charbonnet, he's been kind of the guy, and he's... in a sense, number two there.
This isn't thunder and lightning, but no. Their running styles are dissimilar enough that it is a balanced running attack that kind of keeps you guessing. And I have tried to figure out Seattle all year, and I haven't been able to like really pin them down. Other than they're just really good. That defense, like we talk about, we give the love to the Texans endlessly because they deserve it. They're the best defense in football. It's not close.
And wait till we start picking the the Super Bowl here in a moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I got nice things to say about Houston.
Yeah. I don't want to play them.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But this might be the second best defense in football.
And I'm going to throw some stats at you that might rock your world here, okay? The Seahawks have gone 25 straight games without allowing an opponent 100-plus yard rushing. 25 straight games. Mike McDonald and the Seahawks are 15-2 on the road in the past 2 seasons. You know what that tells me? Defense travels. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shout out Luke Anderson. I'm sure he's just tickled somewhere. The Seattle Seahawks also, here's another fun stat with them as being the number one overall seed. They have been the number one overall seed 4 times in their history. Mm-hmm. Okay. This being the 4th time. The previous 3 times, they have gone to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
see, now here's the thing, too, is that coming into the season, everybody saw the Sam Darnold acquisition as kind of like a a parallel move from Geno Smith.
Sure.
It was the same kind of, like an identical deal.
People were worried that Sam wasn't really an upgrade.
Placeholder, right, exactly. Even after the 14-win season in Minnesota last year when, again, at the end in the playoffs, we got the full Sam Darnold experience.
I feel like that week three, they were like, Jaden Milroe? Maybe right. Better than Darnold.
Nobody saw the Seahawks doing this with Sam Darnold.
Nope.
And I feel like, though, that do we still have that little place down in our plums where we're not quite sure where we trust Sam Darnold about as much as we trusted Geno Smith?
I think this team here, this crew here, the three of us, I think we are more in on Sam Darnold than most are. I still think that narrative exists.
Here, I'll throw some out here. I trust Sam Darnold more than I trust Drake May.
Sure, I'm in. I trust Sam Darnold more than I do Bo Nix. I mean, which quarterbacks in the playoffs do you trust more than Sam Darnold? I mean, obviously, there's some Matt Staffords in the world. Right now, would you rather have Sam Darnold or Jalen Hurts? See what I mean? Do you trust, not who's better, do you trust Sam over Caleb?
I think we still have to take into account the units around them, though, too.
For sure.
So like with Bo in Denver and the defense there and what they do.
Totally. But I'm talking about trust a quarterback to be good. Caleb's upside is astronomically higher. And I know I'm a Caleb hater, and I fully understand that. But in terms of trust, I think I trust Sam more than Caleb.
I think I do, too.
Jordan Love?
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud?
He's 1-1. So I'll give C.J. CJ's probably like the splitting line. I trust Lawrence more.
I do too. I trust Stafford more.
Lawrence more, Stafford more, Josh Allen more.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Rodgers.
As much as a Jags fan as I am, I'm not sure that I still trust Trevor Lawrence.
I love
more.
That we've all finally come around to Trevor Lawrence, except for Jags fans.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny. I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I don't think anybody's playing quarterback better in the NFL right now than
He's tremendous.
The last 6 weeks, he's been an absolute monster.
The final thing to cap on this Seahawk thing, just to kind of put some stuff into perspective, I saw this on Saturday, or yesterday, before the Rams-Cardinals game. So this is a little hindsight here.
A game that I didn't watch a second of.
No. I saw a highlight on Red Zone, and I was like, thank God I'm not wasting my life. Barring a 36-point blowout from the Rams today, being yesterday against the Cardinals, the Seahawks finished the regular season with an NFL-best point differential of 191+. Their three losses came from a combined total of 9 points. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this. Sam had a 4-interception game against the Rams. They lost on a game-winning field goal. Okay? He threw 2 picks last time they played the Rams, and I'm going to tell you, they looked a lot better than the Rams did that game. You got a quarterback that kind of plays sometimes, and you're still winning, life's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Duck fans would wish it could be that way a little bit with Dante, especially going to this Indiana game. Side note, Dante's got to play flawless.
Just play consistent. Don't make mistakes.
Different sports, college and NFL for sure. But Sam Darnold can make a few mistakes and this team gets out of it. And that makes you a very, very scary team.
I mean, the thing I take away from this game is, did you hear Christian McCaffrey's name?
No. McCaffrey played bad. Purdy was not good. Kittle was MIA.
Again, this final score of this game was 13-3.
Juwan Jennings loved to run his mouth, but he wasn't, you know, I was out there catching babies on like Juwan Jennings, you know, some of that Aguilar action.
Yeah, stuff. But I mean, it's 13-3 is not indicative of the score.
No, I think Seattle, if anything, pulled up on offense and just kind of were like,
let's salt this thing away.
It's a little bit Texas techie of like, I don't need the offense to be great today. There's no way they're in this game. Seahawks are going to be a tough one to watch or a tough one to play. They'll be fun to watch.
I'll tell you what, who they're thrilled to have back? Eamon Worry.
Without a doubt.
Just an absolute dude.
They're healthy. They got a bye. Life's in a good spot if you're the Seattle Seahawks.